embodied. Weil Gott mehr mit deinen Zehen zu tun hat, als du denkst. RevLab.
There's this spiritual version of the Disney princess fairy tale about finding your soulmate, being with your twin flame, or what they call being in the divine union. It's an omnipresent story. So romance still seems to be the ultimate goal, find the one. It's very annoying to me and so inaccurate of what's actually true. I'm super happy to have the opportunity to talk with Kiran Trace. She's an international spiritual teacher and human development expert. She's also my mentor since many years. You've heard me mention her many, many, many times. One of my closest friends, and both of us have seen very closely what the truth is about this soulmate myth. So be ready for some deconstruction.
We're here today, though, to deconstruct the whole soulmate myth. Kiran, thank you for doing this.
I'm not sure people are really going to want to hear this.
No.
It's such a story. Such a huge story that soulmates are the best. Finding a soulmate is the, I don't know if it's like the purpose of your life or the brass ring, the golden prize, the golden egg.
Ultimate goal.
The ultimate goal. And then, of course, in the soulmate thing, having a twin soulmate, that version of soulmate is really what we're all here for. Says anyone who did not have a twin soulmate.
Yeah, and like for those who don't read Green Body Mind or whatever it's called.
Yeah, Mind Body Green.
Mind Body Green or all the spiritual blogs about twins and soulmates and why it's such a rewarding special connection. Maybe we can...
All the Instagram accounts. Show you how, like, follow me and I'll show you how you can find your twin. The first three words that you see out of this Scrabble wordplay will point you in the direction of your twin. How to recognize your twin flame.
So what is it, like, for those who don't live in this bubble of Instagram spirituality?
Well, outside of the myth, like outside of the myth of what a soulmate is, it's basically a lot of lifetimes where you are sort of tremendously dependent on another person and then choosing that dependence over your own independence. So it takes a lot of lifetimes to grow a soulmate in the first place. And it's this kind of deep agreement in your own being that you want to come back with this person again. It has to be repeated a number of times to actually grow a soulmate. And to break that down, what's actually occurring is you're saying, this relationship is the relationship I want to nourish versus all the other relationships that could be available to me.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing that. We narrow our focus and we pick this like one person through this filter of a belief that we're fundamentally not safe or unworthy. And this other being is going to make us safe or worthy. And of course, this is a very, very widely held story in our cultures. You know, like that women have value if they are married. And this is a really deep groove for women more than men.
Hmm.
It exists for men too, but it's very thick for women. And we can politically go back to the fact that women were chattel. They didn't have their own right to vote. They didn't have their own financial equity. They weren't allowed to inherit. And you couldn't, you know, there had to be male heirs. And, you know, and so we see how this grew. And today... I mean, today we're still fighting for many levels of kind of self-authority in a political stream, but outside of that, like internally in ourselves, that freedom is possible and available and beautiful. freedom is beautiful. Freedom is so much more beautiful than anything else. And the purpose of one's life is not to sort of find this one true love, but to find freedom, to be free, to be autonomous, to be one's whole authentic being. That's the actual purpose of one's life. And what's happened is through many, many lifetimes, you've let go of that possibility and hooked into this other one. So it's like there's all these beautiful choices. What's an analogy? You're in the supermarket and there's like 20 types of juices. And one of those juices might be really nourishing for you. But it's also possible that there's 3 or 4 or 5 other juices that would be equally nourishing for you. And for some people, it could be like 18 of those would be really nourishing, you know, like that they're already curated for this particular grocery chain and they're generally really, really good. And to say, well, I'm so thirsty, which is already a story. I mean, you may be really thirsty, but to go, I found this one nourishing juice. And so now it's all about this juice. This is the only juice for me. I only want this juice. It's you and me together, baby. Like wherever this juice is sold is where I go. This is my grocery store forever. And it's to make that kind of a choice with a person, but not in one lifetime. Mm-hmm. Like it's in 2, 3, 4 lifetimes that this choice is made to say this one person over anybody else. And we can do this with, you know, it can be a platonic relationship as much as it can be a romantic relationship. Like we are the best friends. I only want it to be with you. You know, when you pass over to the other side, I'm coming back for you. It's, we've mistaken that kind of attachment as love.
Yeah.
And that kind of attachment has a repercussion over the life of your being, which is considerably longer than your one incarnation. So you have many different incarnations, but the being has this life stream that's much longer than that. And what you're doing is you're creating a dependency.
A thick attachment to that one juice.
Yes. Yes. Instead of encouraging your own interdependence. Mm-hmm. To be in community with many nourishing juices. And your freedom involves discerning what is authentically delicious juice for you and then recognizing that that's available. And we, at many stages along that path, are superseding it by a filter that says, well, I'm not capable, which is a type of I'm not worthy. I wouldn't recognize it. I can't hear myself, whatever. Or these like filters that are like, it's not safe, right? All these other juices are going to poison me. Mm-hmm. And it's not actually safe. And at least I found one that feels like it's safe, right? Like, and so these filtered belief systems come in and create these dependencies where you originally had a much more freedom. And so in a soulmate relationship, you have chosen this one person and made this thick intertwining movement. And so, and some people don't know this, but there's a spectrum of soulmate. And so you can have a soulmate that is lightly a soulmate, and then you can have that more and more intense. And then the most intense is, of course, this horrible, sickening thing called a twin that is just a violation of freedom on so many levels. And it's, I mean, it's just revolting how the cult of worship of twin flame is. And it's just so obvious. You have experienced a twin flame, and I have had a twin flame in this lifetime. Yeah,
so we're not just talking about opinions of us. It's like experience.
Yes.
That we're speaking from.
Yeah. And it's like, it's discernible if someone actually had a real twin versus I found this great person and I really love them, so I'm going to call them my twin flame. And I'm going to begin that kind of attachment that may eventually build over a few lifetimes to be a real twin. But the actual real twin relationship is, it's an illness. It's actually a type of an illness that is really powerful opportunity to recognize where you have blocked your own freedom. So for me, another analogy is like trees. Sometimes if you walk in the forest, you'll sometimes come to a tree root or tree branch that is intertwined with other branches. Mm-hmm. And so they have like morphed around each other, reaching for the sun. And what you've gotten is a sort of a tree that cannot live very well to begin with. Like these two or three kind of trees that have kind of wound themselves around each other, they're a weaker tree than another sort of single branch tree, because a single branch tree is the single root that is rooting into the earth and moving up into the, to the sunlight ceiling. Mm-hmm. And so this tree is kind of, it's a weaker tree by the very fact that much of its energy is being used in this twisted, you know, kind of place together. And that's a beautiful analogy of a twin flame, where neither can exist independently. You cannot. Well, you can. I mean, both of us are living examples, but what it took for us to survive having the twin cut away from us is usually not survivable. We happen to be people who managed to make it, but it's very difficult to make it. Like that tree, you can't take the tree apart without killing one of them or both of them, or, you know, like it's a, it's just this growing together so dependently that the nourishment for each is being blocked. It's not like they're giving each other nourishment. It's not like when you see that tree, you're not like, well, that root is feeding this one and this one's feeding that one. Mm-hmm. So they're having twice the nourishment. That's not what's actually occurring.
Yeah, it looks like symbiosis, but it's not.
No, they're blocking the nourishment from each other.
Nobody really wins in that situation. But it's portrayed as we were saying, the ultimate goal, like all the movies are about just finding the one, getting married to the one, having the one, blah, 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 blah. So we're fed this constant
trance of romance. And it's really being used, you know, I would say as a false deity.
Yes.
It's used as a false idol, you know, like romance instead of God. Because at the root of romance, you're looking at connectivity. Mm-hmm. Right, this intimate connection
that we're all longing for,
and so we have a culture that's telling a romance story to try to replace that. Mm-hmm. But this is actually at its root what in reality is that intimate connection is connection to the source that you are, and that is not something that you even could be separated from. And that is the thing that nourishes and feeds and grows and fulfills you. And so what we're doing is we're saying it's through another human being that I will get my nourishment and my source. When in reality, it is through your source that you get your nourishment and your source. So we put this false idol in play. And then we're all scrambling for this false idol. But many of us, many people listening, many of us, we've had it. We've had the full romantic story, and it didn't fulfill. And so then I think people tell the story of like, well, but if I had a soulmate. And I think it's worth talking about the signatures of a soulmate that can be so confusing.
Yeah.
I happen to be somebody who has had quite the full spectrum of soulmates. So in my incarnation, and this one is Kieran Trace, I've had soulmates who were just sort of like friends where there was a kind of a magic about it. And again, I find this with the same as when I'm discussing source or I'm discussing the connection of source. I'm going to hang some words on it, but the words in themselves don't define it. And it's so much easier to recognize the definition if you have already made contact. If you've made contact with your source, you can recognize the definition of these words. If you haven't had contact, It's very difficult to look to the words and find the definition. But it's all we got. And certainly in this media, all I can do is hang some words on it. So to begin with, there's a kind of a magic. And I would describe the magic as you meet this person and you love them immediately. And that's a love that is clearly not coming from you. It's not personal. Mm. You haven't had time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes you don't even know their name. Like, you don't even know anything. And then here's where language is difficult, because how do you define that versus having a lens on your vision or your awareness that's like, I'm desperately seeking connection and intimacy. Mm-hmm. And I'm hooked into the romance story. And then I'm at a party or I'm at a bar or at an event or something, and I meet someone else who's also desperately seeking, and we meet each other there. Like, I wanted this person to be, I don't know, tall, dark, and handsome, or I wanted this person to be cute, nerdy, and goofy. And then we meet at the bar and they're cute, nerdy, and goofy, and we have these things in common, and it feels like magic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
But it's just the filters that click.
Yeah.
As opposed to
what happens in a soulmate, which isn't better. I would say the filter one is better, because you can at least remove filters and then decide if it's a healthy relationship and go forward. With the soulmate one, you can't. It's which is challenging. So I'm going to use, like, so in the circumstance A, where it's just what we're calling a soulmate, where you just, like, you meet them and you love them immediately, and then you're like, what is your name? Like, who are you? But I'm totally in love with you. And then if it's a minor soulmate, so on the lower end of the spectrum, the magic is there, but it doesn't feel like this, like, overwhelming love.
Mm.
And then the stronger, the more lifetimes you've made these alliances, it gets stronger. So a soulmate deeper into the spectrum, so in my case, I'd be a different person, but, like, you would meet and the love is overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And then deeper down the line, you meet this person, and, like, for me, I love you immediately and I know everything about you immediately. But I, Kieran Trace, has never met Jodie Collins. Like, I've never met you, but I know everything about you.
Mm.
And I love you madly. And in that case, even if you are not an empath or a psychic or have anything, there are very bizarre kind of psychic movements that happen between you.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with how many lifetimes you have devoted to this kind of attachment, that you're beginning to represent the same field of incarnation.
Mm.
Like those trees,
mm-hmm.
you know, the trees are beginning to grow together. So there's this symbiotic information being passed that has nothing to do with you, Kieran Trace, and nothing to do with Jodie Collins. Like, it's just this thing that's growing together.
It becomes its own ball.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
And this is, I think, the fundamental piece that's really interesting or important, or I would hope interesting, but who knows. Is that the actual relationship between the soulmate, so it feels so magical, and there's all of this love there, but it creates its own ball. Mm-hmm. It creates this dependency, mm-hmm. and it has nothing to do with the Kieran Trace or the Jodie Collins. And what I'm actually saying there is that it's actually kind of a bypass or an eddy away from Kieran Trace's life.
Yes, yes.
And Kieran Trace's evolutionary pathway, me, and same with Jodie Collins. Like, it removes Jodie Collins from her own life, which is also to say Jodie's own evolutionary track forward. The beliefs she's going to drop, the goals she's going to set, mm. the whatever she's doing in her life. It actually, it's an eddy away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't... With your soulmate, you don't end up evolving.
Mm.
You evolve separately. But that's very difficult to do when you're intertwined. So and this is different than, let's say, the option B, where I meet cute, nerdy guy who's also seeking, and I'm tall, dark, handsome, whatever that happens to be, right? And there's that click and that connect, and it feels like a magic. And then we both discover that we have a lot in common, and there's enough to build a foundation to start dating. And once that dating, once we've been dating, we find that we actually really bring out the best in each other. There's enough communication skills that it can further into a relationship. And then we discover that in a relationship, we actually start to have a lot more of the same values. We really have the same values. And that's not the same value of like, I want to be a parent and you want to be a parent. But I mean, the same values in the sense of like, we value authenticity. Or we value principles, or we value roles, or we value, you know, spontaneous fun, right? Like the path that your being is charting match and support each other and help. And that's worth having a relationship. That's worth a romantic relationship for. And that's a space where in relationship you can evolve. You can evolve. The soulmate, no.
No.
It's not. You're not doing that.
So the only way to evolve is kind of evolve away.
Away. Away. And that is a very challenging thing to move, because that magic and that love and that symbiosis has this cozy, connected, amplified fields, and the sort of more embedded the soulmate, like the more towards twin it is, mm-hmm. the more like absolutely dependent it is.
It's an addiction.
It's a pure addiction.
Yeah.
But you, like a regular addiction, it doesn't look destructive, because the society in the culture we live in
values it.
Celebrates it. Yeah. So there's that.
There's that.
And it isn't like you're on a, it is crazy, because you get on a bender, and you can with a twin, you're in this bubble and you only see each other. Mm-hmm. And the world looks at that and goes, oh, mm-hmm. isn't that so beautiful? Now, if you had just done a whole bunch of cocaine and the only thing you're looking at in the room is more coke, and you just want more cocaine, and you're just only looking at that, the society doesn't look at it and go, oh.
No.
Right? Like, and also, like, I saw this program once, House Hunters International. Those of you that watch it, it's a great show. And so many of it is couples, and you watch all these relationships. And it's really a relationship show. It looks like it's a home show. A real estate agent shows them three different houses, and they pick which one they want to rent or buy. And I don't know how much is preset for that or what, you know. But anyways, the point is that it's often husbands and wives, two sisters, whatever. So it's really a relationship show, and you're watching this interaction. And very commonly, you have, let's say it was a husband and a wife, and throughout the whole show, I mean, they don't physically touch. They tend not to look at each other much at all. They, you know, have some levels of compromise in there, you know, and that's just sort of like, that's the way that goes. But I was watching this show once, and a twin came in. It was for sure. So like, you know, like I have had one, you've had one, I know others, like it's recognizable if you've been in that place. And the entire show, they were pinned physically to each other. They were never physically apart. They were in each other's laps. They were arms around each other. Their hips were always side by side. And every single time the other person spoke, their twin was just staring at them the whole time, and vice versa. And people, as a culture, looks at that and says, oh, what a great relationship.
Yeah. I want that one.
I want that relationship, but I can tell you.
You don't.
Neither, it was a male-female relationship, and neither he nor she had freedom there.
Yeah.
Right? You don't. Mm-mm. It's like she doesn't have the freedom to not listen to him. Mm-hmm. Do you know, like,
yeah.
it's such a drug. It's such a trance. The love is so strong. I mean, it's so intense that you don't, it really blocks your nourishment and your freedom. You don't have the freedom to, like, you know, like, to do much. And then you, like, and it keeps feeding itself. It keeps being a high. Like, if it's a male-female and twin situation, the sex is out of this world every single fucking time. And that's not freedom. That's a drug. That is a drug. There's no freedom. It just keeps indulging its own addiction and keeping that addiction in this sort of charged space. And again, as a society, we're like, I would want that. But it blocks the evolution. It's like neither partner gets their full evolution. They don't get this full choice Mm-mm. in each moment. And they don't get to... Everything's buffered by each other. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're in this bubble, and it's not a bubble of your choice or their choice. And then the closer you get to twin, tragically, the bubble is literally the same energetic field, which is like that person is like so one with you. There's no independence. So therefore, you're profoundly influenced by what's happening mm-hmm. in each other's energetic and emotional field. Like, so profoundly captivatingly so. So there's, again, like, there's no freedom. There's no off button. There's no pause, you know? It's like, you're just constantly influenced, and there's not enough room in that relationship in a twin situation or the soulmate on the spectrum close to twin to just have independent thought and independent emotion and independent choice. It doesn't show up. And I think as a society, because we've replaced for a large part that connection with source, that connection with creator or God as romance,
yes.
we think that level of unity is profound harmony. But it isn't, because you already have that unity with source, with creator, with God. And the unity is preset there with source. And so when it comes to the level of form, which is to say when it comes to the level of you, it's really beautiful to have that authentic independence. Like, it's really a beautiful thing. Like, and that is an expression from source of freedom and autonomy mm-hmm. and self-empowerment and personal evolution. And yeah, so the soulmate spectrum is not a healthy thing. It is a choice being made through many lifetimes to choose each other instead of God, instead of life, instead of all the juices that are available to you. It's just this one.
Yeah. It reminds me of something Martin Luther said, the German guy who reformed the church. Woran du dein Herz hängst, das ist dein Gott. Where you put your heart, that's your God. So if I keep putting my heart to this twin or this soulmate or whatever, it's my God.
Yeah, but you have God.
But, yeah.
Don't eclipse that God.
It's not there. It's not the golden calf.
Yeah, it's not.
It's false.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, we know now, soulmates, twin flames, it's not something you do want. But if you happen to be in such a connection,
you have to
recognize. How do you get out?
Yeah. I mean, God bless you. If you legitimately have a twin, you know what we're saying, and we pray for you. Like,
yeah. Email us.
Yeah, I mean,
seriously.
Seriously. I remember watching that home show with another person who was like, who also recognized them as twins. And we were both like, those are twins. And she was like, how will they survive it? How are they going to survive? It's luckily it's incredibly rare. So if you think you have a twin and you don't know what we're talking about, you're so lucky. It's not really a twin. It's a story you put on top of it. And don't worry about it. But if you do know what we're saying, chances are you really are with a twin, and email us. It's really rare. It's probably not a general teaching. It's a very rare thing because it takes so many lifetimes to cultivate. But if you are in a soulmate relationship that's not a twin one, so you're not being completely drugged out and tranced for a decade on somebody, this is what I would say. If you can know... If you can look really honestly at yourself and really look at that relationship with that soulmate and ask if you have supported their evolution, which means they're seeing through their beliefs, the way that life is coming up under them or hitting them, and they're moving through that life. Have you legitimately, your presence, not your advice or your wisdom, but your presence in their life, has that facilitated that transformation? Because if you really look honestly, I think you're going to see the truth that it's no. What you've provided was an eddy out of the storm, was like a roadside, what is that called? Like a little roadside stop from the storm. Mm-hmm. But they need to be in the storm for the full opportunity, not over on the side with you. Like they need to be in the big wave, not over on the side where the waves are so small. You know, like if life and the opportunities and the evolution for them are over in the big wave, they need to be there. And so I feel like the first place you look is look very closely at yourself and see if you have actually supported them in the big waves of their lives, because the answer is probably no. And because that's not how it works. It can't work that way, because by the very nature of your relationship, you are the roadside stop. You are the calm shoal to the side of the wave, but their life is the wave. And then look at yourself to see if it's true about them, you know, because I think you're going to see that they also are the calm shoal versus the evolutionary pathway where you are. And I'm using these analogies, like one is where the storm or the big wave, but your life is, you know, highs and lows. It's mountains and valleys, right? Like, but each time you're with your soulmate, it is an offside. It calls offside.
Kind of a checkout, right?
It's a checkout. Yeah. It's a trance out. And so if you're in a relationship with a soulmate, then I think just recognizing that, having that real deep inquiry and looking very, very honestly and telling the truth to yourself about that allows you to use the time together sparingly and in a non-comparison way, because it's easy to compare because it's so high, right? Mm-hmm. It's like having to use analogies in all of this because we're trying to throw words on things that have no definitions unless you've experienced it. But just to say, you know, like when you surf that big wave and you make it through, like you're going to hit, you're going to fall, you're going to eat the bottom of the ocean a few times, but then you're going to do it. And now you have the ability to do it. You evolved there. Mm-hmm. So another big wave, you can do it. Another big wave, you can do it. And that is an evolutionary pathway. Mm-hmm. And there is something very liberating. That's freedom as you evolve like this. And the currents of life, whether it's a mountain or a valley, whether it's, you know, like a big wave or a soft wave, right? The currents of life are creating that evolution for you. And to do this offside with a soulmate is blocking those opportunities that life is bringing you. And you're blocking theirs. And so there's a beautiful opportunity inside of it for you to stop making these agreements with new humans in your life. Right? So that you meet these loving, beautiful relationships and friendships, and you can love that relationship and love that friendship without making it exclusive, without making it a dependent place for you, without making it, you know, you can celebrate nourishing relationships and not attached to them.
Yeah. So it's not to, when you come across a soulmate, it's not to like force a cut or push it away.
You couldn't do it. You couldn't even do it.
Because there's no choice there. No. Like it just happens. It just is. And when recognizing, making these choices.
Like yeah.
If it's romance, not exclusive. If it's a friendship, don't spend all your time together.
Don't keep planning trips together and weekends together. Yes. And all days together. Text and working project together and texting all the time and emailing. Yeah. Don't run towards it. Okay. Allow its beauty sparingly, not exclusively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they have, as I've heard from you, and I think I've had the experience in my own life as well, they undo themselves.
They undo themselves.
They can resolve themselves.
In my case, every time they've resolved themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And for my part, it's been mostly very beautiful and effortless.
Mm-hmm.
It just, there's just a natural end that comes as spontaneously as the beginning and is as final and complete.
Mm-hmm.
But I've allowed it to be that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I know another person who's had numerous soulmates, and she works to stay in touch, but they've ended. Like, they're not a core relationship. They're an older relationship.
Yeah.
She had one when she was a child. But she works to, like, wish her happy birthday on Facebook and send her a note once in a while. But it has ended. It is not a core part of her life.
Yeah, same with me and one of my soulmate friends.
Like, yeah.
It's over. And we're still in touch.
Yes. So in my case, when they ended, I let them end. A part of me was always aware that this wasn't it in some part. Very, very subtle. Like you can't, it's you know, you take that cocaine, you're not like, this isn't a real high. Like this is a high. This is a high. But when the cocaine came out of my system, I didn't go for more.
Good for you.
But they kept coming. And then it ended. And then another one came in. And it ended. Another one came in. And lots of times I had two simultaneously.
Oh,
I had
cool.
one very intimate, close to a twin, and one further on the spectrum that I've managed to keep as sort of an acquaintance. So there's been a plethora of soulmates. There's a real habit of mine to make alliances in past lives, you know? And we can see we're innocent in that. In our past lives, society was a very unconscious, unaware, dark place. And so innocently we made these alliances. It wasn't to say that the freedom of God wasn't always available for you, but we had a collective habit to go blind on that. And the politics of the time and the lack of external privilege and resource. Anyways, clearly, I was one to make very strong alliances. And as a result, in this lifetime, just, you know, surrounded by them. But as a result, I've been able to see very clearly what the truth is instead of this deep sort of worship of romance and this, like, you know, holding it up. Like, well, you're like the golden calf or something. That's this. Seems so ridiculous that you would replace romance with God, you know?
Yeah. Would you say, like, maybe to come to a conclusion of this, real marriage or real companionship?
It's those two trees in a forest that are rooted into the earth independently, who have strong bark and strong trees, and then you can see their leaves touch. But in no way is one tree getting nourishment from the other. They're actually independent nourishment sources. And then their leaves are touching. And I think a deeply successful and true, like, marriage or relationship will end. And I think that's success. We also hold a false story that it would be, like, forever.
Forever, yeah.
This, for our whole life.
Yeah.
And that is just, it's not a true vision of... To have a true nourishing relationship is two people supporting each other's authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
That's the answer to that. And the deeper you get to your authenticity and the more you support someone else's authenticity, the more you want their freedom. Yes. You want their pathway. You want their evolution. And everybody has their own relationship to life. And so you will get to a place in relationship where more authenticity is served by severing the relationship, by ending the relationship. And it's fine. If you have children, it's fine. You know, like consciously uncoupling can be so beautiful, important. It's as important as learning to ride a wave, you know, like learning to leave, like to be mature enough to learn to leave when it's time to leave without breaking everything is a mature point of evolution and an important part of relationship. And if you're headed into a relationship, one of the things you're going to be doing in that relationship is learning how to support each other's authenticity and learning how to communicate and learning how to let the other person be free and leave and let yourself be free and leave. That these are essential aspects of relationship.
That's love.
That's what love is defined as.
It's fucking scary for the little not saves, the little unworthies.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
I would rather make this alliance.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love
speaking
this
for myself. I've rather many, many lifetimes chose that freaking alliance.
I love this. I love like how reality is so, how many degrees? 180, 360? I never know.
But 360.
360. Like,
yeah.
Just the total opposite of the story. Like divorce is good. Separation is good. Soulmates are no boy,
terrible.
No, terrible, to stay as far away as you can.
An illness
even.
Clearly an addiction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Our human story has so much lack and limitation and so little allegiance to freedom.
Yes.
And that is why most of our human stories are lies, are inaccurate. They're not true about reality. Because the biggest underlying story of the human myth is that life is unsafe and that it's you against life. And if you're not working with a lot of purpose and a lot of focus and trying to get that soulmate, and trying to get that brass ring, trying to get that romance and trying to get that, then you will be abandoned into a vast wasteland where life will destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
That is the largest inaccurate, untrue movement. Life is very for you. Life is very with you.
Mm.
And it is a your only purpose is that level of freedom where it is absolutely safe to love. And to love means to commune together and to commune apart. That's love.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a relief to pop the bubble of fucking soulmate written by everybody who never actually had a soulmate.
That was Kieran Trace, internationally renowned spiritual leader and human development expert. You find her over at kierantrace.com. Of course, we want to hear your story, your experience with a soulmate, or maybe you're very unsure now if you're in one of those involvements and would like to shed some light on it. As always, you find us on social media at reflab.ch or via email, that's contact@reflab.ch. Wir sind gespannt von euch zu hören und hoffentlich seid ihr auch in zwei Wochen wieder dabei. Merci vielmals fürs Zuhören und bis dann. Reflab.